Third hour, Dare Dunnick and Chase here on this Wednesday. Hope everybody's having a good day on this hump day. Don't forget our pregame show live from Corner Pub in Brentwood. I've logged many hours there over the years. That'll be this Sunday from 5 until 7 p.m. Yes, Corner Pub in Brentwood, 710 Old Hickory Boulevard. This is getting you ready for the Titans and the Rams tilt. Of course, that is Sunday Night Football. You can go there, enjoy a nice meal, have some drinks, watch all the games prior to that, listen to our pregame show, which will have Jarrett Stillman, Mark Howard, and forever Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders. The pregame show is brought to you by TriStar Moving, Parman Tractor and Equipment, FreedomTireGuys.com, FanDuel, E2 Roofing, Hillside Medical, Social Furniture, and Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, Mike Vrabel will hit the podium in about 5-plus minutes or so as they start their preparation for the game against the Rams. Aaron Rodgers is out Sunday. The Packers and the Chiefs are supposed to collide, and Jordan Love will get the start versus Kansas City. We will have our second installment of our NFL Top 10 rankings tomorrow on the program. Where's everybody moving? And oh, by the way, how does that affect the Packers? I Kansas City, as I said after the Giants game on Monday night, they have a fix to anything. They just don't seem like a juggernaut. I remember asking Tim Hasselbeck probably a month ago, has the AFC caught up with Kansas City? And it looks like today's answer is without a doubt, yes. Yes, the conference has caught up with Kansas City. I guess they can fix the turnover portion of it because they give the ball away like Halloween candy a couple nights ago. But I don't know how you fix that defense. And so I don't think they would have beaten the Packers at all. But now you remove Aaron Rodgers and you enter Jordan Love. That changes everything.
No, no doubt that it does. But I think now it's just let's see what he looks like, because Aaron Rodgers, there's a lot of this. Okay, is he vaccinated? Is he unvaccinated? It's being reported he's unvaccinated, so minimum of 10 days that he would have to miss. So, I mean, you know, who knows? But I'm curious to see what this looks like now with Jordan Love. I mean, let's see what the kid has got, if he's going to be the quarterback of the future. But, you know, if you're the Chiefs trying to get things on the right track, this is the week to do it.
We also told you the sad news about Henry Ruggs.
Yeah.
Someone lost their life.
A lot of stuff coming out on that.
In that accident. He has been released from the Raiders since we've been off the air. That happened last night. He was released, and I guess there's a lot more details coming out, and none of it's good.
Yeah, so he was released. He's been arrested.
He's
being charged. They showed his mugshot, you know, and he's pretty banged up. But he was driving 156 miles an hour just seconds before the fiery crash in Las Vegas that killed a woman. He was arrested on suspicion of DUI in that, but 156 miles an hour, 2 seconds before the crash, and he was at 127 miles an hour when the airbags deployed on his Corvette.
Jeez.
The judge, reading this article, says he couldn't recall speeds that high in his career on the bench. He said his blood alcohol content was at 0.161, which is twice the legal limit, and that a loaded firearm was also recovered from the vehicle.
This is not going to be good for him.
No.
He is going to probably go to prison for a good while. I think, what, 2 felony charges? I think he could get all the way up to, what, 20 years in prison?
Yeah, and I mean, the gun is, you know, there could be
that's that's a new wrinkle, right?
Yeah, I mean, if it's registered, you know, is it registered to him or not? You know, that's the other part, but the Raiders did, as you mentioned, released him on Tuesday night, which not surprising, especially with everything they've gone through as an organization lately, just to go ahead and part ways. But I mean, his football career is over. Now it's the legal stuff he's got to focus on. But just a very, very, very bad mistake here, and unfortunately, somebody lost their life.
One bad decision can change the entire course of your life, and that's going to be the case for Henry Ruggs.
I just don't get it, man. I really don't.
One, you shouldn't have any sympathy. I don't have any sympathy because someone lost their life. He was driving when he shouldn't have been, twice the legal limit. Speeds like that, are you kidding me? Like, that's insane. And, you know, where I really have no sympathy whatsoever is he's an NFL player. Okay,
yeah.
NFL players have the ability to call anybody. They have people on staff that will come get you. And, oh, by the way, today it is so easy to arrange a ride. Lyft and
they,
Uber.
They will pay for the Uber.
They'll pay for anything. They will come get you. They will pay for it. And I get it. He's out. He wants to go out. He's out in the middle of the night drunk, and he's showing off in his Corvette. That's the whole point of it. He has no interest in going. But, sorry, I mean, that's you've been drinking, and, you know, you're not supposed to be driving, and you have the ability as an NFL player to have someone come pick you up and come take you home. You have the ability for your team to pay for it. I mean, there's so much at your disposal that the rest of us don't have. So I don't have any sympathy.
Yeah, but I mean, but here's the thing. Do you know how many times I've left my car downtown and I've just paid for an Uber to go home and then come back and get it the next morning?
Yeah.
Like, it just – $30 for an Uber beats anything else that could come from not spending $30 on an Uber.
Taking a life and having your life now altered the rest of your life? Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, I would say so.
And it's a pretty easy decision for me, no matter how much I've had to drink. Like, it, you know, I could be 8 sheets to the wind, and I'm still thinking, yeah, I'm just going to take an Uber, you know? It's just I don't get why that happens, but so.
Well, he'll have probably a long time to sit and think about.
23 years old.
Why he did that.
Was the girl.
23 years old. He's the same age, right? He's, what, 22?
Probably.
Right?
Yeah.
22, 23? That's how old she was?
Yep.
Wow.
Mm. Yeah, he's 22.
Doesn't make any sense. By the way, congratulations to Randy Bullock. He was named the AFC Special Teams Player of the Week.
Very cool. Well deserved.
Yeah. Also, Saints wide receiver Michael Thomas will miss the rest of the season with that ankle injury.
Yeah, I saw he said that you know, there had been a setback, and it looked like he wasn't going to be able to play this season. So the Saints,
is this the Odell Beckham thing all over again? I know this is I think different, but two star receivers that were household names, everybody knew, and then they're just going to kind of drift. I mean, is Michael Thomas ever going to return to form? Will he ever be the same Michael Thomas that was catching like 110 catches a year anymore? Will we ever see that guy again?
Elijah?
Is Drew Brees coming back? I think that's another question too, but no.
Phillip Rivers might.
Phillip Rivers maybe, but we'll see. But I don't know. I doubt it. Just because like those ankle injuries, they keep reoccurring. None of them have been good.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right, let's head over to the Titans facility. Let's hear from head coach Mike Vrabel.
Well, I think Ryan's done a great job for us. I think his toughness, his understanding of our offense and what we're trying to do each and every week has, been good. You know, it can always improve. And, you know, we got a lot of things to work on. But, you know, hopefully we can get off to a good start today. Well, I mean, I think he's always run extremely hard. I think he's, been decisive. He's been strong with the football. So, again, we'll see where he's at this week and, work towards the end of the week and see who's going to end up helping us.
You guys haven't been playing. How do you go about getting them in football shape at this juncture?
Well, I mean, I think you hope that, they've been doing some stuff and then the workout, tries to define, what kind of shape they're in a little bit. We'll have to, work them back into shape and, you know, put some pads on them and try to, you know, give them some contact and, you know, see if they can, you know, adjust to take care of the football. Most of the guys that we have here have, you know, run with the football and, you know, in the games, and especially the ones we added, Deontay and Adrian.
Are you a certain opportunity right now maybe to exploit your tendencies given that, you know, you're going to have some different personnel now?
For us, our tendencies, yeah. Well, I think that that's something that's always going to look, you know, we're looking at, you know, we're 8 games in, and, you know, so we're always going to have to continue to evaluate what we're doing in all 3 phases and making sure that things stay fresh, but also, you know, be able to, you know, do what we believe is a foundation for us and that our players understand.
Everybody excited to be with the team, excited to help, excited to kind of get back into football condition.
My conversation? Yeah, just, you know, figure out what to do. Go as hard as you can. You know, take care of the football. Try to learn the details of the play. Play with great effort and don't do dumb stuff to hurt the team.
Whether it's Adrian or anybody else coming in, what's the challenge of kind of, you know, a crash course in learning an offense?
Well, Dontrell did that last week. He came in, met with Tony. I've mentioned that. You just have to put extra meetings in, pay attention and focus. And, you know, I think for some positions, you know, there's probably less learning. You know, I think it's not like it's an offensive line where there's a lot of stuff, or a receiver where now, you know, there's a lot of vocabulary that changes and formations are called something different. You know, so hopefully we can get these guys brought up to speed quickly.
When you played, how much did who the running back was factor into how you ultimately reacted to play action?
That's so long ago. You know, I mean, that's so long ago. I think that I'm not going to answer that question as a player. I would answer it as a coach and say that the success, you know, I think that you're having running the football, I think that the way the offensive line and everybody comes off the football, the action of the backfield, you know, are all things that I think we look at in play action, whether that's our offense or what we would look at it from a defensive standpoint.
You may get creative offensively. How important is it to kind of stick to that identity and what it is you guys do well?
Well, I mean, I think we have a certain, you know, style that we're accustomed to, and that when we win football games, we're doing certain things. You know, so it's a fine line between, you know, making sure that you know, we're doing the stuff that our guys have been repping and understand, and that are confident in, and then also, you know, we'll always try to find new ways to help us run the football, throw the football, get stops on third down, but to what extent?
Have you had any conversations with AJ about how he is likely to receive a lot more attention now with Derek out of lineup?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure AJ, you know, receives a lot of attention anyways. You know, we'll kind of see where that goes this week. Yeah, I think we always have to be prepared and ready for everything.
How's Stafford done with the Rams? What are you seeing from him maybe in their offense?
Well, I would, you know, I mean, he's at top of most statistical categories. Great grasp of, you know, what they want to do. His ability to manage the line of scrimmage, great cadence, you know, arm talent, the way he moves inside the pocket is very impressive. So, you know, they're playing extremely well. They're playing extremely explosive, and it'll be a great challenge.
You talked Monday about the leadership shift that comes with the void from Derek. You expect that to kind of happen naturally? You expect guys to talk about it? Do you have any conversations about it? How's it work?
No, there wasn't a, you know, I mean, our focus was on, you know, the Rams. You know, I think some of that will occur fairly naturally, and we'll see, you know, kind of where that goes. And you know, I'm confident that everybody, the leadership will be just as strong, and you know, as we work our way through the week and trying to keep guys focused.
With Deontay Foreman being added and McNichols already being there, do you envision possibly having a committee? Because you mentioned that on Monday, how you've seen other teams do it.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that know, there's a lot of factors that go into that. Jeremy has done a nice job for us when we've asked him to, or we've thrown him the football. Obviously, he has a role on our football team. Deontay's carried it for us before. Dontrell was working last week, and then now with the addition of Adrian, we'll kind of just see where everything goes as it plays out through the week, and see which guys are going to be available for us on Sunday.
That process with Adrian Peterson, it went from him possibly visiting to him visiting and then signing very quickly. What was it that made that process so it'll be expedited so quickly?
Well, I mean, you got to get somebody. It's only, you got to worry about guys going other places, guys signing other places, getting ready for the week, getting them caught up to speed. I think everything's determined by how they look and the workout and the physical and everything else that goes into, bringing players in.
Josh, got to do maybe get more involved in the offense? Is it just a matter of practicing better or anything in particular?
No, nothing in particular. Our receivers have to block better. We need to see our ability to block, take care of the guy with the football, play better without the football, continue to fight to get open, keep working and practicing, and those are all things that they're all working on doing.
You had mentioned Matthew Stafford, and just one of his most crucial weapons this year has been Cooper Kupp. I mean, what do you see out of a guy like that who's having an incredible year?
Well, I would say not only does he lead the league in touchdowns and catches and targets, but I would say that him and Woods are probably two of the best blocking wide receivers in the league. It's been impressive just to watch them, not only with their route craft and what they do, but the commitment that they make to blocking players. And I'm not talking just DBs. They're trying to block outside linebackers or cut them off or whatever they need to do in their offense.
What should change or what does change with an offensive approach when you're facing one of those just elite corners like Ramsey, who a lot of times can just take a guy out?
Well, I think you want to be, smart. I think, again, I've never thrown a pass in any sort of competitive football game. So my guess is that you would want to be smart to where you're throwing over there with someone that's that good, and then kind of see where they're playing him. He's played all over the place. They've blitzed him, and he's played in the slot. He's played on the outside. He's matched players. So, we'll have to see where he's at on Sunday and then adjust accordingly. I'm always optimistic, about the guys that are, weren't with us last week, that they're continuing to improve and continue to be available. And, we'll see, obviously how he responds here the next couple of days of practice and, got some other guys that are in that same category.
How much of a problem is Aaron Donald for any offensive line?
And you could ask anybody that question, and they'd say a huge problem. Again, when elite players, talented players, play with great technique and effort, they become, Hall of Fame players. And that's what Aaron's done. He's got explosiveness. He's athletic. He's very flexible, obviously, to be able to bend, and he's quick with his hands. But then when he plays the run, his hands go right in the guy's chest. His hands are above his eyes, and he's playing with great pad level. So, there's a lot of problems there, and then obviously the effort that he plays to be able to chase down plays and disrupt them.
Coming off of four straight wins against very good teams, how much do you feel this last month, the last several games, have kind of prepared you and your team for this big matchup on Sunday night?
I think they all prepare. I think you have to try to hope that every game is going to prepare you at some point. The things that come up, and we've been fortunate enough to win those games that you've mentioned. So hopefully some of the situations that have come up or, things that we need to do improve in on those, we'll have a chance to improve if we face them on Sunday night. The fourth and goal. And, maybe we get a stop this time instead of, giving up the touchdown that we gave after playing three really great plays inside the 2-yard line or whatever it was, maybe, this time that we can find a way to get a stop, or you know, be better in short yardage or whatever it may be. Penalties. Hopefully, we can learn and stop killing ourselves with some penalties.
Generally expected that like a rookie offensive lineman improves quicker as a run guy as opposed to a pass guy. Does it take?
I don't have any general. I'm not even sure what you said. Expectations or?
Yeah, just in general for like a rookie offensive lineman, is it easier to get adjusted to the run game?
Well, I think probably the only thing I can relate that to is, you know, Tyler's high school threw it 55 times a game, and they ran it whenever the quarterback scrambled. So when he made that transition, you know, run blocking wasn't something that they necessarily did, and so that was probably something that he wasn't quite as proficient at and had to improve. We would hope that they would all – every player would improve in all aspects of their position, whether it be run blocking or pass blocking, working off of press coverage as a receiver, you know, man-to-man coverage from off or from press. You know, so there's a lot of things that we hope that they improve on. And I've never looked at it like I'm going to categorize or prioritize, you know, one or the other. There's a certain skill set that they all have to do at every position. Thank you.
There you go. Titans head coach Mike Vrabel. Do you think he wants his wide receivers to also block? I think that's important to him.
That's kind of the theme I picked up on. Is that what his issue is?
To me, that was screaming to me in that press conference. And you know, I mean, is that some outlandish thing? Like, whoa, like no. But you know, I would say that I don't know if every head coach feels that way, because a lot of head coaches, if you're just really talented, like Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods, right? And you're just productive. Like, okay, then, you know, we'll deal with the other stuff.
But what did we talk about so much with Corey Davis? How good of a blocker he was. That, you know, not only could he catch the ball and make plays that way, but that he could block. And I think to Vrabel, that's a very important part of this offense, in that you have to play both types of ways, you know, whether you're getting the ball or not. It's away from the play. I mean, we've talked about that with the Predators and, you know, Eli Tolvanen, like, away from the puck, what do you do? But I think it's kind of the same concept here, and you could tell I need them to block better, because that's important.
He could have just glowed about how good, you know, route runners, you know, fighting to get open, whatever you want to say, glowing about. I mean, Cooper Kupp has been off the charts. Robert Woods is spectacular as well. That's a really dangerous 1-2 punch. But he went out of his way to also say, and oh, by the way, they may also be the best also blockers, wide receivers who block in the league as well. I thought that was really interesting. And it seems like that's part of the issue with Josh Reynolds. At least that's what I picked up on. Maybe he needs to block better, and maybe he needs to fight a little bit more to get open. That's what I took from it. I don't know what you took from it.
Yep. No, I mean, that's exactly what I took from it. You know, that's what he's asking them to do. And like I said, I mean, it's more than just a simple, you know, throw and catch kind of thing. I mean, there's more to it. So I think that really stood out to me there.
And again, as I've said, I just don't get the feeling Julio Jones is his type of player. When asked about Julio Jones, did you hear his response?
Yeah.
I'm always optimistic about the guys that weren't with us last week. We'll see how he responds this week.
But that is that's I'm not even going to say it's just Belichickian. That's a Bill Cowher type answer. That's obviously Belichick. I mean, that's the cultures in which he has played throughout his career. I think that's the answer you're going to get. That's just kind of a little bit of that old school mentality with him. And he expects, you know, he doesn't look at anybody as you're more special than the guy you're next to. Doesn't matter who you are. I mean, I think Brady was even treated that way, even though everybody knew Brady was, you know, in the penthouse and everybody else was below him. But that's just kind of the culture in which.
But I do think he glows about – I don't think he talks about everybody in the same fashion.
No, I think he gives credit to the guys that do things to what I'm just talking about with the culture, that do things the way that he believes it should be done, which is everything, which is, you know, sometimes you got to do the not fun stuff and not just the glory plays like, you know, Julio has made in his career. And so I think that's where he goes and he gives the credit. You know, the one that I think is starting, he's starting to come around on and it's starting to change is Dylan Radins.
Mm-hmm. A little bit.
You know?
A little bit.
Because he has given some praise to Dylan Radins mm-hmm. the last few times he's been asked about him.
Yep. Maybe he's turning a corner, which I'm not even sure anybody thought he was, you know, anywhere near a corner to turn.
Yeah.
Felt like he was maybe still laying in bed at the hotel room where Willie was earlier. I mean, it didn't even look like there was a corner for it, right? And now you're right. I do kind of sense that, okay, maybe Dylan Radins is starting to get a little bit of trust from this coaching staff.
Which
trust
I think
from
is a
his
very
head
good
coach.
Thing.
Trust is a good thing. All right, we'll come back. Tim Hasselbeck on the other side. We'll keep this NFL theme rolling along here on the third hour of Darren Donica Chase, but I want to right now talk to you about Creation CBD. You hear me talk about it all the time. Our show is presented by Creation CBD. And if you're like me and you have aches and pains all over your body, because that tends to happen as we age, you may be searching for a solution like I've been doing for years. And I've got your solution, Creation CBD. Creation means healing. And that right there says it all. Creation is locally and organically sourced CBD products from right here in Middle Tennessee. From seed to final cell, Creation is passionate about providing quality products for everyday use and for pets too. I know this because I've had this dialogue with them. I've been communicating my story with them. The pet tincture has really changed our life. It's changed our female German Shepherd's life because she has had medical issues for 3+ years. Lots of seizures, and we have gone from one vet visit to another over and over to change medication. She's taking 12 pills a day. Nothing has slowed anything down. It's been very bad for 3+ years, and for the last 3 months, we've had her on the pet tincture with Creation CBD, and everything has decreased by a lot, significantly. The seizures, her weight, her energy, like she's acting like a dog again. She's wagging her tail, and these are things we have not seen in years. So if you have a dog like we do that has those issues, I highly suggest you look into this. It has changed our life and changed her life too. You can now order at creationcompany.com, Creation CBD, curated for life. Okay, we will. Let's bring in Tim Hasselbeck because we're ready. Yes, we are ready for him. It's like we are every week. Von Miller traded to the Rams. As we joked yesterday, we didn't even know the Rams had any more draft picks until 2035, but apparently they had two more to give to the Broncos. Ironically, the Titans play the Rams Sunday Night Football. Does Von Miller have any impact at all in that game? And what is he today?
Well, I actually think he's looked fairly healthy. Okay. Does he have an impact? Yeah, I think it could have an impact. I mean, look, if Derrick Henry was still healthy, I would think that, you know, the balance and the way that the Titans, you know, run their offense typically, you know, could help neutralize the guys that are really good pass rushers that, you know, kind of known passing situations can really get after it, especially when you've got a really good player inside and you've got another good player on the other side. So, you know, typically I would say yes, but I do believe, I would say no, but I think that probably going to look a little different offensively for the Titans. So I do think he could have an impact on the game.
Do you think the rest of the way that Adrian Peterson can have any impact for the Titans?
What do you mean, any impact?
Well, I mean, I know he's not going to be Derrick Henry, so I'm trying to be careful in how I phrase this. I mean, can he give them any type of lift? Can he give them any type of production, you think, the rest of the way?
Yeah, I mean, I think he can help, just like, but, you know, I also think that, you know, Jeremy McNichols can help too, right? Like, I here's how I feel about this when guys get hurt. You know, everyone says, like, oh my gosh, this is the worst. Like, what are we going to do? And look, it could happen where it's like, it's their downfall and they don't have a response to it. But, you know, we've also seen in the NFL example after example of, you know, somebody that's an unknown player or somebody get an opportunity or somebody's role change because of an injury, and guys take advantage of it. So, you know, I just think in fairness to, Ryan Tannehill and the rest of that offense, in fairness to, you know, guys that are going to get an opportunity, like, let's see if they can do it. Like, let's see if Mike White just threw for 400 yards. Like, no one knew anything about Mike White, you know, 2 weeks ago. But he, you know, he's got his uniform and a football sitting in Canton, Ohio right now.
By the way, we knew Mike White because we watched him at Western Kentucky.
I knew. There you go.
But I didn't know he was the backup quarterback for the Jets. I'm like, whoa. I mean, how do you even explain that? 405 yards and 3 touchdowns carves up the Bengals in a win?
Yeah, I mean, how do I explain it? Like, I think this, that when players come out, and look, that could be one game. I mean, who knows? But, you know, typically speaking, most guys that make it to that point, you know, they have talent and ability. It's not about doing something one time. You know, it's about, can you consistently do it? And can you consistently do it against other really good players when people are trying to confuse you as a quarterback and stuff like that? It's not about can somebody do it once. And so, like, how you explain that, I think, is, look, most players are good enough to do it. I think the thing that was impressive to me watching him was that, you know, he from the
Uh-oh, he's Uh-oh. In the West Wing. There he is.
And assured. What? He just seemed assured to me. And I think that's hard to do, being in that spot. Mm.
So when you look at – by the way, this Henry Ruggs thing is really bad. I don't have any sympathy for him because somebody lost their life. And NFL players, as you know, Tim, are afforded luxuries that we don't have as average Joes, where, you know, they've got – they got actually people on staff that'll come get you, or they'll pay for stuff.
Right.
You know, you don't have to drive home if you're going to go out and have a good time. But now this decision, this very, very bad decision, this one decision is going to affect him for the rest of his life. It's just sad. It's sad to me that a guy just beginning is now his life is forever affected because of one really, really poor decision.
Yeah, I think the NFL, I mean, if you go back probably a decade, you know, I think that it would be fair to say that it was drinking and driving in the NFL was a real, really big issue for a long time. I mean, it seemed like, you know, once a month there was somebody getting, you know, pulled over for a DUI. And clearly, I mean, I don't think everybody knows how dangerous that can be. And this from happening. And so all teams, and maybe you guys have talked about this, but like all teams, you know, talk to their players early in the season about it, and then give them the resources, which I think is what you're referring to, in that you can call a hotline, it doesn't get reported back to the team, and you can get it right home. And like, I don't know how, you know, what else you can do, you know, other than that.
Yeah.
So I think that's what you're referring to, and it makes being a player, being afforded those resources, you know, it makes it completely, you know, not that it would be otherwise, but it makes it indefensible.
Yep. Is Odell Beckham done in Cleveland? Is that book complete? Is it that chapter closed, that book closed? It just seems like that thing is over. What do you think?
It seems that way. Here's a part for me that I don't get this. Like, I know families are supportive. Like, I get all that. I mean, look, I've been on TV talking when my brother was a player. Look, it's how I started coming on the radio with you guys. But I don't get why family members feel the need to, like, go tell a bunch of people on social media that, like, how good somebody is and how terrible somebody else is, and it's that terrible player's fault that this really good player that they're related to is outstanding. Like, what does that matter? Who are you telling that to? Like, I'm blown away by, like, the immaturity of adults sometimes to feel like they've got to go, I don't know, justify somebody maybe not having statistics or justify or respond to somebody that's being critical of a player. And then, unfortunately, I think what that breeds is it breeds a really toxic and bad environment. And I think it's contributing to what's gone on in Cleveland. And, yeah, like, they may be in a situation where they end up cutting Odell Beckham. And I think some of it will have to do with just basically selfishness and immaturity, which is wild because he's had games this season where they targeted him 7 times, 8 times, 9 times in football games. Like, they're throwing it to him 6 times a game right now, basically. And he missed the first 2 games of the season. And yet now they're getting ready to cut him because, like, or potentially cut him because, honestly, just like some immaturity.
Talking to Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. So, Tim, Jordan Love going to start because Aaron Rodgers on the COVID list. What do you need to see out of him against the Chiefs just in his first big game action?
I think that the expectation should be that he shows awesome command of what they're doing offensively. Like, I don't think that what they do, plays they will call, I don't think that they will change. Their identity, you know, is definitely a team that's kind of changed into, you know, wanting to run the football more, have more balance, move the pocket off of stuff off of that. And I think that's what they'll try to do. And so he should show good command of that because he's been in that system. And, you know, he had opportunities this offseason to get reps in it, and he had opportunities in the preseason to get reps in it. And, look, we've seen other quarterbacks come in without those same types of things, with less ability, quite honestly, have success. So I think that should be the expectation for Jordan Love.
With the Cowboys and their win on Sunday without Dak Prescott, I mean, what does that do for a team to when you're without, and I mean, Green Bay could possibly be in the same position without without Aaron this week, but to win a game that people may look at, okay, no Dak Prescott, probably not a good chance, Cooper Rush, who's that? But to do that and come through in the clutch like they did, I mean, what does that do for an already confident team?
Yeah, I think it just builds on that confidence. And Mike McCarthy talked about, you know, just the importance of that win and how it felt like a big deal. And just even the reaction of the team afterwards, it seemed like, I mean, think about it. Like, they beat the Vikings. It wasn't like, you know, they just, you know, beat the Cardinals and they were no longer undefeated. Like, they beat the Vikings, a team that has definitely struggled, but the reaction to it was different. I think that was a confidence, to your point, already a confident team, but a confidence-boosting win. Because it's not just all about the quarterback. You saw other people step up. But then you also, you know, and I think in some ways a confidence builder for coaches to have somebody come in and play as well as Cooper Rush did in that spot. And then it also ends up being like a career-changing experience for somebody like Cooper Rush. So, yeah, I think it's hard to quantify how important that is or what that can do for a team, but it felt like it was a big deal for them.
Tim, as we let you go, what team that's at 500 or just slightly below maybe is better than the record shows and could make a run as we move along here?
So here's the deal. I'm going to keep beating the drum for the Steelers. I think we got it. So what, like they're 4-3. So is that close enough to 500 for you?
Yeah, that's
look, I don't know if they're a Super Bowl team. In fact, you know, I probably think that they're not. But, you know, there also is an element with that. Like, they outrushed the Browns this past weekend. I think they're getting better at running the football. It's a rebuild offensive line and a rookie running back. Is the quarterback perfect? No. But John Elway and Peyton Manning won Super Bowls, you know, when their physical skills had diminished because they did other things well. And so, and then you look at the Steelers defense, like they have probably, you know, one of the three best defensive players in the game. And their coach just seems to find a way to do things the right way and get his team to play well. So I just feel like people have been burying them for so long. And I don't know why everyone feels like there needs to be this need to be early to that party. They probably don't win their division, but if they end up winning 10 games, which they might, and go into the postseason, that's not going to be an easy win for anybody.
Thumbs up or thumbs down on Coach Lasso on Sunday, brother Matt?
You know what? Here's the deal. This is kind of what a loser I am during the football season. I've never seen an episode.
Tim, I haven't either.
I haven't either.
Full disclosure.
Because like you're doing radio every day, you're watching sports on the weekend, yep. And you're doing hockey games at pregame at night. Like there's just. You know,
I haven't seen one episode.
When would you, right? So, yeah, I wouldn't be able to tell you. I wouldn't. But okay. There's a Halloween photo out there circulating that I think is of me. That's pretty good from 15 years ago.
Really?
Eli Manning posted it on Twitter.
Okay.
I think my costume's better than his, actually, to be honest with you.
Okay, we're going to go look for that. Okay, good tip. Good heads up. Hey, we know you got a roll. Thanks for doing this, as always. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, see you guys.
Tim Hasselbeck, every week. We love our conversations with him. We'll come back and wrap up the third hour of Darren, Donnick, and Chase. We will do that next. You can go to thegamenashville.com/deals to check out Nashville's best deals. The new deal this week, $30 gift card for only $15 to 312 Pizza Company.
Sing it, Whitney.
In Germantown. She could sing. 312 Pizza Company serves the best pizza in town, as well as Chicago-style eats like Chicago dogs, Italian beef sandwiches, and more. Get the deal right now at thegamenashville.com/deals. Sounds like a winner to me. Back here on Darren, Donnick, and Chase, our show is presented by Creation CBD. I went and looked up what he was talking about. Eli Manning did tweet out a picture. It says, 15 years ago, Giants Halloween party with Tim and Elizabeth Hasselbeck. He made a point, and I sent this to Tim, and he sent it back. You know, he's pretty upset. You know, I said he made a point to say he said Tim is wearing a wig, but the stash is all natural. And Tim says, I wasn't wearing a wig. And it was like, well, I told him, I said, yeah, you were, but I don't know why Eli made a point to tell everybody you were wearing a wig. But he is a UPS man. I mean, Elizabeth look like they're UPS.
So where this is on Twitter?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he tweeted it, the day before Halloween.
Eli did?
Eli.
Eli did. Okay. I'll have to go. I think I missed that.
It's pretty funny, though. Wait till you see the picture. Look at Tim 15 years ago.
Well, there are pictures of Tim from around that time where he did have some hair, and it kind of was around the time that he – oh, man, yeah, you're right.
Tim is awesome. Disputing. He called – I said, yeah. I said, what's up with Eli making a point to tell everyone it's a wig? And Tim texted back, hater.
I mean – Tim looks like he's actually in a Poison tribute band and dressed up as a UPS driver.
I went out and said it just like Tim did. I get it. It's a phenomenon, and I know everybody quotes it all the time, and it's a huge hit. I've never seen 1 second of Ted Lasso.
I haven't either, and I need to. I mean, I hear it's
I mean,
good.
It's not like I'm protesting it or, I have no interest. I think Tim said it best. I mean, when? I mean, I guess it's either sacrifice sleep or watch Ted Lasso. I think I'll take sleep. I mean, I don't have the time to – I've never watched it. And that's interesting because it's so popular that Tim, myself, and you, Elijah, my guess is Elijah's probably watched it.
I have not watched it.
Wow.
Actually, have not seen one episode of Ted Lasso.
So the four of us.
I mean, it's on the list.
It's a wildly popular show, and none of us have seen a second of it.
I haven't had time to watch a lot of Netflix.
Yeah, I don't know. Me too. I just don't either.
This is our busy season, so, I mean, there's been a lot of sports.
Last month, I finally watched Breaking Bad, and that was exhausting for me. I binged, like, four seasons of television in a couple weeks, and I ain't got that in me for a while.
None of us want to go back to a shutdown.
No.
I know I don't. I kind of feel like right now that's, like, the only time. That's the only chance, and I don't want to. It's not that important to me. I don't want shutdown. I guess maybe, the summer months, but I'd have to wait a while. So it's not going to happen anytime soon. But everybody talks about it. But that's what Matt was. I guess he was Coach Lasso.
Yeah, it's popular. Popular right now for sure.
I just hear I hear people always reference Ted Lasso, and I have no idea what they're talking about because I've never seen it. So yeah. There you go. We're going to come back and talk with Chris Mason. Special night for the Crisp family last night in Calgary. If you noticed, Sheila did the interview on television. I know I was listening to Pete and Hal, but I did catch her interview with Lindsay, and she did say Calgary. I was like, yes, yes.
Wasn't it Elliot that you said that to? And he's like, nobody ever says that.
I know. And he had to totally backpedal on that. He's like, nobody says that. And then that night on the broadcast, they said Calgary. And I sent him the clip of it. And he's like, yeah, I guess I have to rethink this.
By the way, Darren, real quick, unrelated, but Ryan just walked into the control room. And this reminded me of this. He texted me this morning. And I, 6 years ago today, put a picture on his desk of Dusty Baker that I said to Ryan, the price is wrong, best Dusty, and hung that on his desk. And it is so fitting that 6 years to the day, that pops up on his memories. I thought you'd appreciate that.
I do appreciate it.
Dusty was very classy in his interview last night.
He always is. Classy man.
He is. Good manager.
Hall of Fame manager. No, he's not a good manager. He's a Hall of Fame manager.
And Ryan has walked out of the room.
He's a Hall of Fame manager. You disagree?
No, I don't. I think he's a Hall of Fame manager.
He's got over 2,000 wins as a manager.
He's got the most wins of any manager without a World Series.
Yeah, I mean, that's not a great category you want to be in. I understand, albeit, but he's got over 2,000 wins as a manager.
Yeah. No, I mean.
2,000.
Well, and what he did, too, with the Astros.
Right.
Taking over that job at the time that he did and getting everything back on track.
He almost went to back-to-back World Series with the Astros.
Yeah.
When everybody thought, they lost Springer and the whole scandal, Cole and the cheating, like, that was it, right? Like, close the book on the Astros. They're done. They're going to, fade away. And he just about took them to back-to-back World Series. They were one game away last year, and, of course, they lose this year. So, yeah, pretty incredible story. Now they're probably – do you think they're going to lose Correa?
I do.
Yeah, I do, too.
I think he's – kind of feels I think way. He's been gone. He's going to get paid somewhere else and – But it's funny. I kind of feel like, and I've talked to a couple of Astros fans that, and one said to me, I'm okay if it kind of blows up all the way, but some of those guys move on just so they can move on, because they're gonna just be, always connected to everything.
Sure.
So no I doubt. Think they're gonna get a little reset.
A little, but I mean,
not huge, but a little.
Yeah, I think it's probably going to start with Korea. I don't know where he goes, but
somebody's
going to get paid.
I'm sure the usual suspects will.
Yeah, I know.
will be involved.
Yankees, Red Sox, Mets, Angels, Dodgers. Yep, usual suspects.
Yep.
I don't know, the way the Padres have been signing people, maybe San Diego. Do they have room?
Could be.
They seem to have an unlimited payroll.
I like the hire they made at manager.
For 78 wins a year.
Yeah, but I mean, that's the thing. I think they've been missing that element in getting Melvin. I think it's a good move.
Okay, we'll see. We shall see. All right, we'll come back. We'll start the final hour and talk with C-Mace. We do that next here on Darren, Donnick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.